You're listening to Richard Vobes.
Hello, and welcome to another exciting Richard Vobes radio show. Show number 134, somewhere in the early part of June. 3rd, I think. Yes, it's that Friday feeling. And Jimmy is live in the studio. Hello, Jimmy.
Hello, Richard.
How are you?
I'm all right.
Good to see you back in here. Actually, I have to say to the lovely listener sitting by the fireside with iPod ears or MP3 buds stuck into their orifices that Jimmy has worked so hard on tonight's show. He has done most of the work. So a big congratulations to you, because I have been just running on fumes today. So it's Friday, that wonderful Friday feeling, of course, with our legend in his own lifetime, Jimmy.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Jimmy. What a build-up for such a little squirt such as I.
Oh, don't be like that. They love you, Jim. You are an integral part of the show.
You were.
The show is growing, which is fantastic.
It was groaning.
Well, we're groaning. I should let everybody know that we've had a quick count-up. A few more iListen emails to the Vobes at Hotmail account have come in. We now have 73 official listeners who have just sent me the email to say, yes, I listen to the show. So I'd like to say hello to you lot. If you haven't as yet, I know it's not always easy for everybody. You may be listening to this whilst you commute to work, playing a round of golf, or even flying an aircraft. And you may not be anywhere near a emailing device to send me one. And I appreciate, of course, once you've listened to the show, you're on to other thing, greater things. Of course you are, and I don't blame you at all. But if you do happen to manage it, we're just trying to ascertain roughly what sort of listenership we are. So send an email with I listen in the subject line. Don't put anything else into the contents bit, and send it to the Hotmail account. That's vobes@hotmail.com. I don't read anything in there. It gets put into a side folder just so that we can come on the show like we did just now and say, we've got 73, aren't we lucky? Wow. Jimmy.
Hello.
You have something warm and solid in your hand.
Yes, I'll put it down and I'll get a bottle of beer instead.
That's much better. And careful with that. Oh. No noise from that one.
That was a bit weak, wasn't it?
Now, everybody, well, I didn't say everybody knows, but we put on the forum, which we'll talk about a bit later on, but we announced on the forum the beer that we're trying. As somebody suggested, it was a great idea if we tell everybody in advance what it is we're going to drink on the nights we do this. Think that's a good idea?
That is a very good idea. It gives them a chance to go out and buy it, or to get over to England if you're in America, find a little off-licence, take a bottle of back.
So, yes. Of course, what we shall do later on in the show is, just before we disappear, which we will do, and they're in the kitchen, and we nearly forgot to bring them in.
We just realised, yeah.
We will announce what beer we shall be drinking next week, because we've actually gone out and bought next year's, what I'm saying, next week's beer. Hopefully we won't be tempted to drink it between now and then. Pour it out, Jim, and tell us what this week's beer is.
What this week's beer is you're going to get me to turn my hand so I spill it all over my lap.
Oh, look
you?
Out, it's going to dribble down.
Oh, sugar, look at that. Well, that's a lively little beer, that one, isn't it?
It is a lively beer.
Oh, I've got wet trousers. Right, Bateman's Good Honest Ales, and it's known as XXXB.
Yes, indeed.
My bottom's getting wet now.
Yes, it did rather throth up there, Jimmy.
It did, but it's got a gorgeous smell. That must be mine, actually.
Must be. And yeah. I'm over here
dribbling.
I'm about, just to explain to the listener, I'm about 5 feet away from Jimmy. We separated by the control desk.
Because he smells.
Thank you. So I cannot reach what he's doing. I can just see with ogling eyes all this lovely sort of mahogany-coloured beer by the looks of it with a big frothy head. So be careful this time as you pour the beer out, Jimmy.
We'll do it properly. We'll tilt the glass. We'll not let it glop too much. Oh, that's much better. Look at that.
Isn't that nice? Whilst you're doing that, let me just intro the musical instrument that is the Friday Musical Delight. Can you guess what the instrument is this week? The musical instrument this week just happens to be the clarinet. No, hang on.
That's a glockenspiel.
Oh, yes, it's something.
No, it's not.
It's a xylophone.
It's one of those rubbery things with keyboards and holes at the other end and...
Is that a rubber chicken you're talking
that's
about?
That's it, yes. Oh, what do they call it?
Oh, I know what you mean. It's a harp.
No, that's got strings. This is all wind, a bit like you.
Thanks. I will be after one of these beers, I tell you. Yes, of course, it's an accordion, I believe, and this happens to be Michael Jennery and Gilbert Hofstede with their French accordion, Fleur de Jura.
Oh, yes, night well.
So that's the musical instrument of that, of course, which is rather jolly. Have another little listen for a moment whilst we sample the beer. So, Jim, let's have a little taste of the beer. What do you think?
That's very nice. Oh, yes, that's nice.
So tell us something about the beer. Have you made notes? And
I've cheated a bit, and I went to a beer guide site to see what they said about it.
That's interesting.
So we can compare. Delightful golden ruby colour. Yes, we'll agree.
Yes,
100%. Nice thick tan head. Yes, the colour does go into the froth.
It does, actually.
Yes.
You're quite right. You can see it blending. It's almost as if someone's taken the hold of Photoshop and done a little merge.
A little merge. It carries the colour through, which is a good sign, I think.
Yeah, I guess so. I have the faintest idea, to be honest.
It says its nose is hoppy.
Is it?
Fruity, slightly bready.
I think my nose is hoppy and fruity and bready because I just stuck it into all the froth.
A little cinnamon backbite. I can't say that I
love cinnamon.
I detect that.
I love cinnamon. I can't take
no,
taste
I can't,
that,
no. But they seem to keep saying a very bready taste. Perhaps it's quite hot in
It's very fizzy.
Yeast.
It's another one of these fizzy. Now, that may be because it's come in a bottle.
More than likely. I think if it's a cask, pumped.
Is it one of these, we should know this. I should know this, where it's fermented in the bottle as a final thing.
Yeah, I don't think it is.
So it's just bottled at source.
You can bottle it down the road.
That's true. What's the alcoholic percentage, Jim?
I think we're on, actually, 4.8.
So that's quite reasonable for us.
Yes, it is.
We will manage to survive the whole show.
It's quite nice.
It is nice, actually. I'm already nearly halfway through. So that's the one. If you're drinking this with us, if you've managed to get hold of one of these, if you've checked out the forum and what have you, then do let us know what you think. You've got a week, of course, to go and sample it and let us know. And then we'll put it on the forum, the beer. We'll set up a little topic, actually. I'll set Jimmy onto that we're playing a feature and he can set one up. And then instantly people can start... obviously, you can't do it as we record this because you haven't heard it because of the nature of this time-shifted radio. But that would be the basic plan. So in the week, we can come back and see what people think, which will be rather good.
That's a good idea.
Okay, let's just... I just must take us into the world of Dark Compass. Rowley Cutler is a lovely bloke. He is our guest listener of the week, and he's showing us an insight into his world. And today, on day 4, he's slightly in a rush.
Diary of a Podcaster, day... whatever. with it being Friday, what with it being Friday, I have to frantically tidy up the bedsit. It's seeming as this is the last day that I have this week here. And of course I've woken up late. Usually I'm up a bit earlier than this to put things away and tidy things up and freshen things up and brush my teeth and all that kind of stuff. But, today, almost a half day for me. Of course, I'll be catching the train later to go home around 3 o'clock. And, am I ready? Am I ready? Yeah, I've got everything. Keys. Here you go, keys in pocket. And really, to be honest, I'm not making this tour. So I'm mad panic. Right, okay, out the door, right, okay, I'm off to work. Catch you later. Bye. This has been Diary of a Podcast, Diary of a Listener, roly@darkcompass.com. See ya.
The Richard Vibes Radio Show is brought to you by Podshare. You can enjoy this show for free for 7 days. And if you want to carry on listening after that, and we hope you will, then please subscribe at the website, vibes.com. And now, on with the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Jimmy.
That's just to prove that you are actually still here, Jim.
No, I'm not.
No, good. Now, Jimmy, what other musical instrument suggestions have we had? Because last week we launched that Challenge Jimmy. Hang on. Challenge Jimmy! And we thought it was quite good, too, because a lot of people, even Charles Stell was saying, what about handbells? Did you have any joy with that sort of thing?
I have got something at home for that. I could only find one entry for handbells, and it's quite a good one, actually.
Okay.
But other suggestions we've had from Timotheus.
Timotheus.
Who suggested a kazoo.
Ah.
What's that sound like?
Oh, the old kazoo.
That's lovely.
Okay, like so that. Kazoo, that's an unusual one. It'd be interesting to find what kind of songs you can get with that.
Mr. Tinkoff has suggested a tuba.
Ah, good old Adam. He's not quite the size of a tuba, but he's a big bloke, isn't he?
Is he? I won't pick a fight with him.
No.
lovely sound.
You wouldn't get it through the door, though,
would you? You wouldn't, no. No, that's
not these
excuse.
Doors. Absolutely.
Adrian Pegg had to do this, didn't he? A stylophone.
He's showing his age he there, is, I yes. think, isn't he?
Where else could you get that sound,
I don't
honestly?
Know. Would you ever use that in a real thing? Was that ever used, a stylophone?
It has been used, not often, because it's a bit of a dead sound,
yes,
but it's unique.
Bizarre, but there you go. I remember that myself.
Not as quite as unique as Jim's suggestion from Bromsgrove near Birmingham.
Oh yeah,
a theremin.
Now that
is scary.
It's sort of spacey.
It is, isn't it?
Agey.
Very sixties.
Very sixties. So bizarre.
Very bizarre. Frightening. Psychedelic.
Could be. So, yes, okay, so that's the theremin. Is there much music out there for theremins?
No.
I'd wonder where you got all these little clip sounds.
Oh, no.
You've been working hard, haven't
you? I shan't say. I even found a sample that Roland Cutler suggested from an instrument called a cora.
A cora?
Which is, I forgot the country it comes from now, but it's a bit like a guitar.
Oh, right, okay.
I've got a couple of samples. I'm going to see if I can get a little bit more on there.
Right, a cora.
Proving interesting.
So, yeah, so if anyone out there thinks they can do better than that and fancies challenging Jimmy,
yeah,
then you know what to do.
Send an email to richard@vobes.com.
And we will see if he can even be outwitted,
yes,
by the audience.
I'm sure I will.
I'm sure. No, it's impossible.
Make up.
Impossible. This is a piece of music that was sent in by Omar Egan, bless him, from El Salvador. He wrote to me and he said, please play this on your show. This is something I composed on my PC.
Clever.
Are you, can you actually play any music, Jimmy?
I can.
Can you actually play any music?
I can play a tiny bit of keyboards.
Can you?
Tiny, tiny bit.
I admire anyone who can do this kind of stuff.
So, yes.
He's called this Jazz Waltz, which is,
It's like a jazzy waltz.
Mm. Yeah, I would describe that as a jazzy waltz. A waltz with a bit of jazz.
Yes.
You're listening to the Richard Vobes Radio Show. For a complete transcript of today's show, write down everything you hear.
Well, it's now time to go to a little added feature this week.
Are you bored and at a loose end? Why not join the Richard Vobes Radio Show forum?
Oh, sorry. I overspoke over the last bit. Jimmy.
Hello.
The forum.
Oh, isn't it fun?
Isn't it fun?
And isn't it popular?
Those of you who may not know the Richard Vobes Show... Who is that bloke? Has introduced a forum to the show, to the proceedings. So if you go to the Vobes.com website and go to the forum, you just sign yourself in and add the fun. You can find on the forum lots of things, including discussions about what has gone on in the show. The ghost thing's been interesting.
Incredibly popular, yes. People have been adding to that, and I think they've all taken it in exactly the right vein.
Really?
A little bit of humour, yes.
Absolutely. You need a bit of humour with that. I mean, the thing is, I'm still on the wall myself. I'm still not convinced or not disconvinced.
Disconvinced,
yes. I'm sorry, I can't think of the correct word.
Send that one off.
But they didn't convince me that there was, but I'm still not completely sceptical. I still think maybe there is. It's still worth further investigation.
I think pleading with a ghost to come out was
It made good radio, didn't it?
It did make very good radio.
It was humorous. Yes. So what's been going on? What activity? Because you're sort of the head forum man.
Head forum? Oh, no.
Yes.
I just love keeping it. We've got a new member.
Have we?
I can't pronounce it.
Oh, God.
Tessie Moore.
Tessie Moore.
Julio's on there at the moment.
Julio.
Mart. Adrian's there.
So we're recording this live at 9:23 GMT plus one, I think, for British summertime.
Yep.
And on the forum tonight is Julio.
Julio. Me, Jimmy. Tessie Moore.
Yes.
Probably pronounced that wrong.
I'm sure.
Mart and Adrian.
Ah.
Who's probably having a good nose round.
Good for him.
Yeah, and there's two guests, people who haven't actually registered, or they're just having a look without coming in too deep.
Oh.
Good for
them. It's always nice to see people there coming in as guests and having a nose round and seeing what's in there, which is absolutely essential and important. Anything
Nothing new's come up in the last 10 minutes. We've got 43 registered members.
It's really going well, though. It's
incredibly well.
I am totally thrilled by the response because it does mean that there's a community. I do love getting the emails, but I do feel that if I can't get them to the air, some of them are so good that it's a shame that other people can't see them. Whereas in the forum, obviously, it's a brilliant way of them to see.
We've had so many more people that wouldn't normally email have found it easier to go to the forum. It's great because someone here can answer their question or at least pass on the pertinent bits to you.
Yes, and that's brilliant. To be honest, I was not a forum believer.
No, you're not, are you?
And, but now I'm finding it addictive.
We spent
there's so much that I have to do, but I do try to get on there as much as I can. In fact, I had to put a posting on there earlier to say if it's essential that I see your posting, then do email me or send me a private message thingy and tell me where it is because I can't keep on top of all the activity. But thanks to Jim and Stan and Georgie and all the other. And do talk to Georgie. She does like it when you talk to her. She's absolutely thrilled about that.
Yeah.
We have an instrument of the day. I can't remember what it was now, Jim.
Accordion.
Oh, yes. There we are, a little bit of hot accordion polka there, Italian folk music. Rather nice and rather jolly. Do you remember yesterday, I played in some stuff with Jimmy, where we went to the...
Vintage car?
Yeah, the vintage car rally, which was run by the Lions. What are they called? The Lions and Round Table or something, are they?
Oh, there's the Lions, there's the Rotary and the Round Table. I think there's about three different...
And they're all charity organisations in the UK that run these little sort of fetes and festivals and county fairs.
Marvellous people.
In order to obviously put money towards different charities. Mm. And they have branches all over the UK.
Oh, yeah.
And they're all run by different groups of people, etc. So last weekend, we went out and we left you with Jimmy and I catching a lift on a Southdown bus, if you remember. So let's take you back to further that, where also we managed to find apparently the American's most ugliest car.
Oh, yes.
One other of these has actually got aerodynamic bodywork, which we regard as highly a joke, because in the 1930s there were aerodynamic streamlined railway engines, so they streamlined the bus, you know, which is a laugh when every 500 yards it stops and restarts and grinds its way up to 15 miles an hour.
So in its day, it would have been a reliable service?
Oh, yeah, very reliable. Southdown always bought the Rolls-Royce of buses. That's why they really wiped out most of the other competitors around the southeast. They were just too good for it. Yeah.
And I suppose, is there any of these sort of buses in active service these days?
There's one of these with an open-top body, which is still owned by the company, which... through changes of names and into the National Bus Company and back out again, originally bought it in 1929. So you could say that's still on the payroll, yes. And that's serial number 183.
That's nice to see that. Can we go in and have a look upstairs?
Yeah, you can have a look upstairs, yeah.
That would be lovely. Okay, girls, after you. So we've come out into there, and it's there, the central aisle down here with the seats either side, nice sort of brown leather with a flowered pattern. And noticeably, in between the seats at the back, you've got the old silver cigarette ashtray. So you can sit there. Loads of legroom. Gonna have a little sit down now. You get a great spectacular view from the top of the open, from the double decker. You can see out into the arena where there's going to be some events a bit later on. Oh, here we go, starting up. Who would have thought that when we arrived here today we would be travelling in the top of a double-decker bus in an arena?
Absolutely amazing, isn't it? For a change, everyone are taking photographs of us. I've just seen what must be one of the ugliest American cars ever, and I think most Americans will agree with me. It looks like the Etzel. If I'm right, it's quite renowned for being... It is! It's ugly.
Okay, well, let's go and find out something more about it. Now, you're saying this is an ugly car. If I say this to the man, will he be upset?
No, I think he knows the history.
All right, hello. It's the Richard Vogt's radio show. What a lovely little doggy you got there. This is a show that goes out to a lot of American listeners on the internet.
Yeah.
And my friend here, Jimmy, says that this is renowned for being a very ugly car. Is that true?
Apparently so, yes.
Do you think it's an ugly car?
Oh, no, I think it's gorgeous.
Do you love it?
I do love it, yeah.
Can you tell us something about the car?
Well, this one?
Yeah.
It's got bullet holes in the boot.
It's got bullet holes?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah,
let's have a look at those.
Real bullet holes. You'd have to get down on the floor.
Okay, we're just scrabbling underneath.
See here?
Yeah.
All those little holes there.
Oh, right.
Those are 9mm bullet holes.
So how would you get bullet holes right underneath the boot?
It's an Arizona car, and I expect there's a couple of shallow graves in the Arizona desert.
So you're saying that someone was in the boot and they were just polished off?
Yeah.
How nice. What a lovely story that is. So it comes with bullet holes, okay. Mm-hmm. It's quite a big, wide car. I suppose being an American car, that's not a surprise.
Well, no, that's it. I mean, they built them big, big country. You know, lots of miles to cover when you're travelling across it.
What period of car are we talking about?
Well, this is 1958. It's a huge, comfortable car. And it's just built for cruising.
Just for cruising, long journeys.
That's right. I mean, big five-litre
engine.
Yeah, V8.
Is it a gas guzzler?
This one's not too bad, actually. We brought this up in Leeds last year, and we drove back from Leeds to Brighton, and we made it on just over a tank and a quarter, so
how
it wasn't too bad.
How much is in a tank?
How much is in a tank?
Yeah.
60 quid.
So that's quite an expensive journey then,
well,
in a car.
It wasn't too bad, considering, you know, it could have been worse.
I guess so. So it's in a sort of pale blue colour. What kind of blue would you call it?
I'm not too sure, actually. There is a manufacturer's name for it.
With a grey, a light grey top.
No, that's frost white.
Frost white. Frost white, okay.
It's dirty, I haven't cleaned it properly.
So is it a sort of car that a lot of people are interested in over here? Is it collectors?
Oh, this is definitely a collector's car, yeah. I mean, although the Americans didn't like it when it first came out, and it has got a bit of a stigma attached to it, they're very collectible cars. I mean, there's only about... there is an Edsel Club in England. There's about 33, maybe slightly more Edsels in the country that we actually know that are on the road. There might be a few more that don't actually come out. But, yeah, very collectible
so
car. Very
what about car. If you're maintaining it, about getting spares and stuff like that? Is that easy to do?
Yeah, I mean, you can go on the internet. You can go just onto eBay and buy bits for your car. There's lots of clubs in America.
So the internet's really made this sort of hobby...
Yeah.
If I can call it a hobby, having anything like this, you can now just source things so easily.
It's a very expensive hobby, but it's a lot of fun.
Absolutely. And, is this the only car you've got? Or
no, we've got another one of these as well.
Have you?
Yeah.
And is that on the road?
Yeah, that's on the road. It needs a little bit of work, but it is on the road. And also, I've got a hot rod as well. So,
have you?
Yeah, but it's, I haven't got it here, obviously. Yeah.
So do you alternate between what you show where you go?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when my partner Caroline's with me, she needs all the boot space she can get when we go away for weekenders. The hot rod hasn't got enough room, so...
So you come out in this.
We come out in this.
Fantastic. Well, I think it's a nice car.
I mean, it's lovely.
You know, it's anything that's different from the modern cars. Because modern cars just look so boring. You go back sort of 30 years and beyond, you start getting cars that actually had character.
Oh, definitely.
Instead of just these sort of... wind tunnel cars.
Yeah. And this is what this show's all about. It's, you know, showing cars that have got the character, you know, something out of the ordinary, or what people used to drive. And, I think it's brilliant.
Diary of a Podcaster, June 3rd, 2005. Sitting in the car, driving up to Staines to see a psychic lady for an interview for the show. With me is Georgie. You all right, George?
Yes, I'm cool.
We've just bought some sandwiches in a petrol station, and we've had a good morning together trying to... work on some bits and bobs for the show. Georgie's recorded a new Podshare sweeper, didn't you?
Yep. And you've put some music in, I think.
That's correct. In fact, I've used a snippet of Michael Powell's music, which I think was called Bellevue. I've enjoyed listening to Rowley Cutler on his Diary of a Listener each day, although he keeps calling it Diary of a Podcaster, but I suppose because he is a podcaster, he can get away with it. You didn't like that bit of sandwich?
No.
Okay.
Mayonnaise on the cucumber.
We don't like mayonnaise, do we?
I don't mind it in some foods, but this type of mayonnaise, and there's too much of it, I don't like it.
Fair enough. So, that's it really. Hopefully we'll be back in time to do the beer cast with Jimmy. So, Diary of a Podcaster, over and out.
So there we are, that's another Diary of a Podcaster in there. Hope you enjoyed that, Jimmy.
Oh yeah, it's good.
Fantastic. Jimmy, I had an interesting email that came in earlier today. I think maybe we should just run the old doodah.
Email of the day.
Let's read them emails, man.
You keep sending, we'll keep reading.
This is from Peter Jarus, who says, I've just read Adrian Pegg's PodShare notice on your webpage. And I must say that my reactions are mixed. On one hand, I appreciate the shareware style approach. It's convenient, it's simple, and it reflects a trust in your audience. If you'll excuse me being a bit picky, though, it does sound rather unfriendly. Consider this bit. He says, there is only one rule. Listen for a week and see if you like the show. If you wish to keep listening after that, you must make your contribution or stop listening. That's not what I had envisaged when I first heard you talk about the idea. I would rather have a system where the listeners are encouraged to pay for the show and given a suggested price, $20 say. Those who can, stroke would, like to give more, should. And those who can't pay as much won't. There'll be some who, I bet, you'll have trouble paying even the $20, and they shouldn't feel guilty about it. By showing good faith and trusting your audience to make a sliding scale contribution, you'll make those who can give more money more comfortable in doing so and attract a larger audience overall, since nobody feels compelled to pay money that they can't. My guess is, overall, you'll get more money out of it this way, and you'll certainly appear friendlier and on our side, so to speak. With all due respect to Adrian, and I'm sure that this was not his intention, his PodShare notice does make him sound rather like some diva's publicist. It has a demanding, off-putting tone. Antithesis of Richard Vobes. I know you're a podcaster through and through, and that means there's very little division between you and your audience. And I hope you can keep it that way. I believe you mentioned the Twitcast system. That's twit.tv. Theirs is even less naggy than what I suggest. There is no obligation to pay for anything, though they mention how it might help, and paid subscription was a special treatment. You might want to have a look a bit more at that system. Whatever you do, Richard, I'll stick with you. Pitch in. Keep up the good work. And that's from Peter Jarrus.
I agree.
The only thing I feel that I have to come back with there and say that is, if no one's encouraged to pay anything, you know, there's no obligation whatsoever, then it still becomes a free show. Mm. The difference between the guys at Twit is they've got jobs and they've money behind it.
Yeah.
And I do not have any money. I have very little work, and this is taking out all my time. And in order to keep the show going, I need to pay bills. And in order to keep the show to the standard that we've had, it means going out and doing stuff, and all that time I'm not physically able to work. So, but I do appreciate the idea of a sliding scale. So I don't want to put anybody off who would like to pay, even if they can only afford $5.
And it's something.
I do think that it is a handshake deal. There's no contract as such to say.
Don't it coming over too Big Brother like. The warning, someone mentioned the warning. Yes, it was a bit harsh.
Well, we now changed that, and you may have noticed that in the show we've got a slightly a newer one. So
much better.
If that is okay, then that will be lovely. Aye. And that will be keep everybody happy. Right, it's time again for the accordion to transfer us. By the way, if anyone's got any comments on the PodShare thing, then do let us know, because this is a trial period, really. We don't know quite how it will all gel in. So do get in touch by email or on the forum, and we'll keep an eye on it. And so we'll transfer you now to somewhere in gay Paris.
Bonjour, Jimmy.
Oh, bonjour, Monsieur Vobes. What is that you have in your hands, so big and so round?
Indeed, you like them, do you, Monsieur Jimmy?
They are, what do you say, magnifique?
Yes, indeed. I have taken great care of them. They travel with me everywhere.
I would be so happy to have a pair like that in my hands.
Well, Monsieur Jimmy... Would you like to hold them?
Oui, Monsieur Vobes. They are, how you say, so heavy.
Yes, well, you see, many people would like to get their hands on my onions.
Ha ha ha!
How stupid can we get?
There we are, a little script there, written by Monsieur Jimmy himself. Uh-huh. He's a little budding scriptwriter, I feel.
Who were,
missers. Jimmy, we have to go, unfortunately, but we must do our last bit of beer tasting and evaluation.
Although I'd actually like to thank everyone who voted on Podcast Alley, who shifted Richard from place 117 up to 60.
Oh, yes.
What a huge improvement.
Now, people know that in the past I have avoided the Podcast Alley voting debate, and I'm now moving my thoughts on that purely because the guy at Podcast Alley assured me that he was changing how this system worked. And he said, oh, it's almost implemented, you'll notice it in a couple of weeks. Well, a good month has gone by, and I noticed really and truly, I cannot see any improvement on that in any shape or form.
Well, your movement was all due to a mere 23 votes.
Well, that's good. So now I am saying, to get a reflection of good podcasts, you do need to vote so that anybody going to Podcast Alley would hopefully find us next week in the top 50, and one day maybe in the top 10.
Whoa.
Fantastic. So, Jimmy,
well, hey,
the beer.
It's brilliant. Oh, I don't know. I'm going on to 7, I think.
You're going on to 7. That's quite high for you. That's
it
a good
is
recommendation.
High.
I would sort of tend to agree. It's one of those beers. I'm beginning to learn with these beers that the longer they stay in the glass, the more that fizz disappears. And that, to me, improves the flavour. I don't like it too fizzy.
Exactly.
It's too much like lemonade then, with a beer taste.
We're
like
committed.
A
we're committed to buying from the bottle, unless we can drag the studio down to the pub.
Well, of course, we'll be having our own soon.
Oh, yes.
And
yes,
hopefully next week we will start making the beer.
We've got to thank... quick look. Someone who sent it. Oh, Furman from New York sent us a couple of links to a budget site where this chap makes beer on a budget.
Oh, wow.
Exactly up our street.
Yes, indeed. That's the kind of thing. For our first branch into beer making. Mm. Oh, and I had another idea just before we disembark. Bread making. I think
what,
you
as in
and I.
Dosh?
No.
Moolah.
Real bread. No. I mean what? Dough.
Soft, fluffy bread.
Soft, fluffy bread. That we bake in an oven. I think we should have a go
at
some bread making. We'll get the beer going first.
Okay.
We'll follow up. If you've got a suggestion for something of the culinary skills of Jimmy and I can do in a kitchen, then you know what to do.
Send an email to richard@vobes.com.
Indeed. Time to disembark. The boat is going. Travelling into the podosphere.
I'm not touching the courgette.
Thanks, one and all. Nice to have you here. Do go to the forum, check it all out. Thanks to Jimmy.
A pleasure as always.
And we will see you again tomorrow in another show, the Richard Vobes Radio Show.
Aye, aye.
Enjoy.
Bye.
You're listening to Richard Vobes.